Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new Timber Tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
I'm excited to have with me here in studio, my friend, Mary Beulah. She's the executive director of Erie Together, the anti-poverty initiative that's been going on, what do you think now, 15 years?
14 years. We're in our
14. Yep. Wow.
Yep.
And, you know, very, very important work that's been going on in our community. what would you say the amount of different people, are we into the hundreds of folks that have been involved over the years, you think?
Without a question. Yep, hundreds of people involved in the various general action teams and the specific initiatives we've launched, 100%.
And the goal for Erie Together is, I mean, if there's one, you know, and there's that phrase that is right under there. Talk about that.
Yep, yeah. So Erie Together was formed to help make the Erie region a community of opportunity where everyone can learn, work, and thrive. So everything we do at Erie Together somehow relates to one of those learn, work, or thrive sort of overarching objectives.
And has it, do you feel like it's kind of moved, that the focus has kind of maybe come more narrow to, let's say, this career pathways and really education being kind of the key as kind of the linchpin of getting people out of poverty? I mean,
I would say that a lot of the efforts in recent years have been heavily focused in education because, as you just said, education is key to both preventing and reducing poverty. And so we are extremely entrenched in the educational arena across the county, especially when it comes to career awareness and preparation and career pathways development. But I just want to sort of remind everyone that Erie Together was created as a citizen-driven movement. And so the kinds of issues that Erie Together focuses on are identified by the community, and they're really designed to address the community's top challenges and priorities. So when you talk about the purpose evolving, you know, it evolves based on what the citizenry is saying we need.
Do you feel like, I'm thinking about, if we were to look back 14 years ago at the level of youth violence, for example, do you think that, and poverty and despair, do you think that that is informing some of the conversations that are happening in anti-poverty, you know, initiatives now? Or is that kind of come and gone and now we're moving on to something else? I don't know.
I think that there's a very close connection. And the really nice thing about these initiatives that are leading things like anti-violence and, you know, the Unified Erie approach and Erie Together and the Blue Coats and all of these groups that are engaged in this. You saw today, even in our big community meeting, the district attorney's office was represented. A lot of people were there.
Right.
You know, the nice thing about the way this works is it's a movement that brings people from all different personal and professional backgrounds together to collaborate, to work together differently to address some of these big issues. So they're very closely connected, and we're interfacing all the time.
I'm always so I get enthused by, excuse me, how you get the buy-in, how you get the input. Like anybody's idea is valid. Now, it's a democratic process, and so I had 4 votes, right? Now, I must say that on my sheet today, and I was focused on, which one was I doing? Civic-minded, that's what I did. Okay. And so I said, you know, we ought to do an outreach to parents to talk about civic responsibility and you know, the civic nature of our community, because people don't understand how voting works, how our judicial system works, and having that connection to parents, whether that is, you know, a handout that goes home with kids at school or you know, some kind of event at school or something like that to get parents engaged in civic mindedness. That got a lot of votes, so I was super excited about that.
I was super excited about that, too. And so what you're talking about is our recently released profile of a graduate. Mm-hmm. And the conversation that we were having was, how can we engage the community in developing the skills and attributes that our community has said are important for young people when they graduate high school to be successful in the community in their life? And so we developed this resource that has all of these skills on it. And I thought that was a brilliant idea. And I thought that was really good that that came out as one of the top ones, because we're talking all the time about how important parents and caregivers are in this space, essentially.
Right.
They are such a big influence, and we need to help them become even more engaged than they are now.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, if you were to talk to any teacher or any organizer on the parent teacher organization, they're always, you know, begging for parents to come and get involved with what their kids are doing. Before we jump into the graduate, I think we're going to wait on that for a second. I want to talk about the amazing work that y'all have been doing with Career Pathways, because mm-hmm. I mean, this is a long time coming, right? Mm-hmm. And you presented some data today about how much you're working with the trades, for example, mm-hmm. to really push the needle. And so, you know, we hear here, we have these conversations, oh, you know, we can't find any workers, right? That's the sad song. Well, you're doing your best.
We are doing our best. And Joel, it's so funny you bring that up, because I think the first time I met anyone face to face in the skilled trades was here when TJ Sandell and there was another person, I can't remember his name, that was here with us, and we did a show with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we recognize the importance of bringing visibility to the skilled trades and how lucrative those careers can be, and how seamless it is once you're in the skilled trades to earn while you learn and get the training on the job and all of the opportunities that exist. You're always going to need a plumber. You're always going to need an electrician. These jobs are not going to go away, right? And there are openings, and everyone needs them. And so we really started to focus on these skilled trades opportunities, and we've done a lot of work around bringing visibility to that. And we launched, you know, maybe 6 to 8 months ago or so. We've done so much, and we know that we've impacted about 300 kids just so far, and we are nowhere near done.
That's amazing. You know, I remember, several years ago having the conversation at Erie Together that, you know, for the colleges for post-secondary education, it's really easy because there's a whole infrastructure for, let's say, a Gannon or a Mercer or a Penn West to send flyers to the guidance counselor and whatever. But we found on the trade side, or on the, you know, on, you know, on the pre-apprentice side or apprentice side, there was nothing. There was a vacuum of information. You kind of jumped on getting that fixed through videos, through kind of like a cool video thing. Talk about some of all that.
Yep. So, and that was the one thing that I found. Now, understand, these trades are doing the best they can with the people they have in place to be able to go into the schools and to talk to students, but they need more firepower, right? And the one thing that I learned when I just started getting engaged in this was there was no place to find really comprehensive information about all of the trades that are in our region and how you could even learn more about them. So the first thing we did was we developed a directory. We put it online. We pushed it out to the schools, and now all the schools and all the families have access to this. And so it's a really good resource. But the thing that's really getting people are these videos we're starting to develop and push out. And these are really short videos. They can be found on Career Street Erie's YouTube channel, and they are focusing on like an overview of four skilled trades and then a specific focus on trades like plumbers, steam fitters, electricians, roofers, and we've just done five more now. We've taped them and we're going to be producing those as well. They're in the editing phase now. We're working with a company called Intentional Focus LLC, which is a group of two former educators, and so they did a really nice job being able to connect with students in putting these videos together. They're highly entertaining. They have great information. You can find out what the earning potential is, how you contact people, what a job looks like, what kind of work you're doing. I mean, these are amazing videos.
So it sounds like it's encompassing a lot of the construction trades. Do you feel like that's going to branch into the manufacturing trades? I mean, I keep on hearing about we need more, you know, tooling experts and all the different things that happen in manufacturing, CDC operators and so on. You know?
We'd like to do that. So this is funded through a special grant that we secured in partnership with Northwest PA Job Connect, specifically focused on the skilled trades. But we'd like to do that because we think that these videos are really powerful. Mm-hmm. And there are other things that we'd like to do with manufacturers. Now, understand, we've been working with manufacturers for years in terms of employer panels and getting kids in tours and all of that. This is a unique addition to the work we've done that we'd like to be able to bring to manufacturers as well.
So this is reaching into the schools. What about the kids, the young people that have graduated? But maybe you would, I don't know what the correct term would be, but let's say that they're underemployed. I mean, didn't we find that that was a significant cohort in our community of those underemployed individuals that they can't make enough to move out of their parents' basement, that kind of thing, you know?
Sure. And I don't know the stats behind it, right? But I do know that there are a tremendous number of jobs available in the region, and they're going unfilled, right? And they're very nice earning potential. What I'll say about that group is while our work most specifically is focused on going into the schools, one of our partners is Northwest PA Job Connect, and they are the group that helped us secure the funding. And so they are also pushing this out through their channels. And so we're trying to hit both audiences, right? School-aged and then those that are just out and are looking for meaningful employment.
Have you heard what their outreach mechanism is to, you know, to share the, I mean, I know they have a website, but like, if again, if I'm a kid that's at a local store or a local, you know, just underemployed, if you will, how do I find out about, you know, hey, if I just get this amount of skills under my belt, I can maybe go get this kind of big time job, you know?
Well, first of all, these videos are all running on Community Access Media.
Okay.
I think they're running five times a week.
Wow.
So catch those.
Yeah.
Northwest PA Job Connect, they obviously, they have a website. They also are partners with the Career Link. You know, people who are underemployed or unemployed going to the Career Link would have access to these resources also. And also they use their social media to promote things and whatever avenues they do as they're trying to recruit people to help them. You know, this is all there for them.
I want to pivot here a little bit, Mary. We were talking about, you know, exposing the skilled trades to young people and to kids in school. I want to ask you about what you found as far as identifying strengths. And this comes up in this profile of a graduate that we're going to get to, you know, where we're understanding, you know, identifying a career path based on strengths and interests, the future focus quadrant of that. Do you feel that that as part of like the career pathways and some of the educational pathways that are happening in our schools now, that kids are identifying their strengths, that they're identifying their personality traits and so on, you know, whether they're, you know, introvert and maybe task oriented versus, you know, guy like me is kind of an extrovert. And, you know, I think my core value was being a promoter. Like that was when you put my ENFP together, my Myers-Briggs, that's what I came out as. So there's that part of it, personality, but there's also strengths of like, what interests you? What are you good at? Are kids getting there?
I think that that is really happening in the schools.
I think that
kids are taking interest inventories. They take things at certain, I think there's a Holland inventory that they take at a younger grade. And I know that schools are working very closely with the students to really help them think through what their interests are so that they can consider what pathways they want to pursue. There's just such a deeper focus on these kinds of things now, and there's such a deeper recognition that college is important, but college is not for everybody, and right. there are other paths to pursue that can provide you with very good careers. And I think that that recognition is happening all across the board.
What we were working on maybe 2-3 years ago, maybe even more now, were those identified, what was it, 6 different focuses or clusters that were identified by the state, right, that we kind of got in alignment with, right?
Yeah, so there's a story behind that. There are 5.
There are five
career pathways, as we call them. And we say they are generally accepted career pathways. These were never like... They've never come down as a mandate from the state, but they were created based on some work that was done by an individual that was working for the Department of Education and was also doing work at Middletown High School over in the central part of the state. And so these 5 generally accepted career pathways are engineering and industrial technology, which includes things like construction, manufacturing, architecture, things like that. The second one is science and health, which includes both the natural sciences and the biological sciences. There's business, finance, and information technology, which is things like marketing, sales, accounting,
computers,
real estate, things like that. And then there's arts and communication, which is what it says. And then there's human services, and human services is the one that we've focused on most recently, and it's the one that's most diverse. So it includes things like law and public safety, government and public administration, hospitality, education, and the social services that you would think of as human
right.
services. So those are the 5 generally accepted pathways, and they encompass all 16 industry clusters. So every cluster falls within one of those 5 pathways.
And I you pointed out human services. I think it was not that long ago where we found out there were like over 1,000 jobs projected to be available every year for things like direct care and so on. Again, you hear about, you know, the struggle to find workers, whether it is with intellectual disabilities or with senior care. I mean, the whole gamut here, you know?
Right. There is so much opportunity in the human services arena, and there's opportunity to get in at the ground floor and to advance your skills and to move up.
Okay.
So I would highly encourage people who are interested in helping other people take a look at what the opportunities are in this community, because there's all kind of jobs available, and there are resources available too to support people's growth as they move up.
Some of them will give pretty hefty signing bonuses if you hang in there, you know, 6 months to a year. You get that extra push, you know.
I mean, right.
It's pretty
amazing. There are different things like mm-hmm. that. So if you want a rewarding career that's helping people, that's something you really should take a look at.
I don't know if you heard my conversation with Dr. Clark from AHN, and we were discussing the nursing shortage. And it's a universal shortage, right? But I said, you know, back in 2010, that's when the original baby boomers turned 65. We knew we were going to have this cavalcade of old folks. You know, here we are 15 years later, 14 years later, and, You know, now it's exasperated. We need everything from nurses' aides all the way to, you know, nurse practitioners, right? We need that whole skill set.
Right,
we?
And there's such a ladder there, right? You come in as a nurse's aide and you can move all the way up, provided you get the skills and the extra experience you need to do that. There's just so much opportunity and so much need. If you're a nurse, you're never going to be out of a job.
No, not at all. I don't know if I have enough time, but maybe I do. I wanted to ask you about the Pennsylvania Youth Survey. That came up today. Mm-hmm. You taught me about what this is. Well, you and Amy, mm-hmm. and you know, the folks from Unified Erie. Why isn't that more known? Why is it that when the Pays results come out, that's not a blazing headline in the newspaper? Why is this a secret?
Well, I think you should ask the newspaper
that
question.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
But
that came up. Like, people don't know what protective factors are and our
risk factors. They don't know that. Now, the Policy and Planning Council puts, plans around that so that we can address those risk factors. You know, I don't know the answer to that question, but I know that it's a valuable resource, and I know that it's going to come into play for this work. And I think part of it, you have to be careful to protect the data, right?
Sure.
You want to protect the data, but if we can provide it in an aggregated way to show what the experience is for kids across the county from their own perspective, that will go a long way to help us inform our work.
And people need to understand, this is a survey of nearly every child of certain grades throughout the county. I mean, this is not just a sampling. This is an extensive survey about how they're feeling about themselves, how they're feeling about violence. What are some of the things that they're dealing with? It's where the Take Me to Worship campaign came from. It's where a lot of these efforts to mitigate and to celebrate the successes of young people came from, right out of determinants of the Pays, the youth survey. And so I don't know, I think if we're going to do a data driven approach,
that's what I was just going to say. Yeah,
we need to use this kind of stuff. Mary Beulah, the director of Erie Together, is our guest, and we're talking about how education is truly a pathway out of poverty. And Mary, we're talking about generational poverty. We're talking about people that their lived experience is being poor. And you're saying we can, through education, through career pathways, through exposure to what's available, that you could break that cycle of generational poverty.
I think so. And through exposure to other people in other careers that they may never have seen before,
mm-hmm.
right? It's all about understanding the opportunities, seeing people who look like them in other opportunities, understanding what the educational and training requirements are. I think that helps young people really think about their future in a different way, because unless you can see it, you really don't know what's there, right?
Okay. Yeah. You have to be able to, kind of channel, hey, I could do what they're doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about the profile of a graduate. Where did this come from? And I want to go through the six different pillars here that are part of this. So.
Right. So the profile of a graduate is not unique to Erie County, but it has sort of started to become more familiar to districts and others across the United States. And we have been working for years with a group that was originally called the National Center for College and Career Transitions and is now called U-Science. And U-Science was involved with some of this work in other places. And our district administrators and educators said, listen, we're really interested in doing something like this. Now, Erie County is unique because most of the other places that U-Science had worked with were working with only one district.
Okay.
We're working with 13, or
wow.
Most of those 13, right?
Yeah.
So this document, this profile of a graduate, was put together with the input of all of those districts and many, many employers and other educators and higher ed people and social service providers and parents and students. And it was just a tremendous community undertaking that has now produced this really great thing that we can now measure, for lack of a better term, our students. I don't think I like how I'm saying this, but this will help our students understand what our community would like to see them have and be able to do so that they can be successful when they graduate high school.
I mean, you are kind of driven to data, though. So these are like strategic success factors you would want to see in these four pillars that you would want to see the students have a relatively high level of success
right.
in each pillar. Let me, before we talk about this, let me ask you, at what point was the discussion of actual graduation rates going into this? Because we have a situation here where we have less than 70% of males in Erie High School graduating in 4 years. So was that not considered, or is that still a part of this conversation?
Well, I think graduation is probably top of mind for every superintendent in this county right. all the time, right?
Right?
They want their kids to be successful, and they want them to graduate, and they're very committed to doing the kinds of things within their district that will support that. And so I'm sure that played into it. That wasn't necessarily a conversation that I led as part of these discussions, but I was, you know, we pitched this to the county superintendents, including the city, everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, yes, this is something we are interested in. Let's move forward.
Okay. Yeah. And the other thing, and we talked about this off the air, but I'll bring it on the air here, is that some schools have already created kind of like their graduation minimums in their strategic plan. So do you feel like that was informing those that were involved in creating this profile of a graduate, their strategic plans were informing some of this outcome here, you think?
I would hope so. I think that, you know, if the districts have their strategic plans in place, they want to be able to operationalize and achieve the goals that are in those strategic plans, right? They felt this was important. And
yeah.
so I think that there's a clear connection here between those strategic plans, between the guidance plans for students that the guidance counselors and teachers have to put in place
sure.
and all of that. So I think it all comes into play.
Wonderful. Let's get started here. Academically ready. And let's go through this. Actively listens and applies knowledge, connects skills to workplace expectations, utilizes effective written and verbal communications, demonstrates proficiency in math skills, takes responsibility, ownership, and selects coursework based on personal and career goals. What are your thoughts on all those bullet points there?
So I'll give you my thoughts on these, but I do want to mention, in case we didn't, that this piece was developed with the input of hundreds of people.
Wow.
Right? So employers, educators, parents, students, social service providers, the whole gamut, right? In a number of different ways. And we did a community-wide survey that garnered about 100 responses. About 50% of those were from employers. So when I look at the totality of this resource, what this says to me is that universally, people believe that these are the success factors for kids, right? And so we were having a conversation today after the Erie Together countywide meeting about how students can use these to their benefit when they're looking at their next step after high school. For instance, you know, we say here demonstrates proficiency in math skills. If you believe you're strong in math skills, which we know every manufacturer needs, right?
Sure.
And all these construction trades need, put that on your resume and then be prepared to discuss how you demonstrate your proficiency in math skills, because that gives you a leg up against somebody who might just be able to say, you know, I worked at this or this job, but can't get deeper into what those skills were behind it.
Wow. Wow. That, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, these read like they would come right out of LinkedIn, you know what I mean? You know,
yep.
As far as these are my skill sets and so on. So the academically ready thing is first and foremost the idea would be that, yeah, that they received a successful high school education on academics.
Yep, and let's talk about this for a second. So let's look at this, even utilizes effective written and verbal communications. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to do that every day in your job.
100%.
Right? Yeah. So, and you need to be able to do it to get a job. You need to be able to write well. You need to be able to put together a convincing cover letter. You need to put together a good resume. You have to commit, you have to submit applications and be able to complete them. You learn all this in school, right?
Sure.
So you have to apply those skills then to what your future is going to look like through those kinds of activities.
And so the goal would be at the school level, as this kind of gets fleshed out, is that this would be kind of a roadmap for to go beyond, you know, just teaching for the PSATs or, you know, teaching for the tests. It's like, hey, the community has said this is what we want. Our outcomes to be academically, you know, let's make sure that our kids can talk themselves out of a paper bag, is that's my phrase, you know.
Right.
Or and all these other things, you know, apply knowledge and so on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you know, it applies for all six of these different buckets that we're looking at here. It's about the schools embedding this kind of teaching and activities within their curriculum and their extracurricular activities, and it's about the community supporting the development of these skills in ways that we can figure out how to do that too.
And just a side note, I feel like you could so overlay those protective factors from the 40 for the 40 assets insofar as, hey, let's celebrate our brightest, you know, our big, our math stars and, you know, our robotic stars, you know, let's do some protective factors as we get these successful, these kids hit these success marks here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over to Life Ready. And this is demonstrates healthy lifestyle and habits, treats others with dignity and respect, manages stress and uses positive coping skills, commits to continuous lifelong learning, advocates for self and seeks help when needed, utilizes technology appropriately in interpersonal interactions. Boy, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there. And when you read this one in particular, I was thinking about one of the steering committee members that helped develop this approached me afterwards. And he said, can we share this with adults too?
Yes.
Because think about that. I mean, those are all the things that we need to be able to do every day to be successful. And I'm much older than high school graduate age, right?
Well, yeah, managing stress and lifelong learning. Some of us are stuck with what we might have learned when we were in eighth grade as far as certain things,
mm-hmm.
advocates for ourselves, seeks help. I mean, this is in utilizing technology appropriately.
Treats others with dignity and respect.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is all important stuff here.
So again, this would be harder to measure. Mm-hmm. This would be harder to put a data point on. How do you do the soft stuff like this?
We have to figure that out, right?
Okay.
So today, as part of this countywide action team, we went through all of these things and everyone there generated a lot of really important, good ideas.
Okay.
And now we got to figure out what the plan is and how to measure its success.
Very cool. Very cool. We're talking to Mary Beulah here. We're talking about a profile of a graduate coming out of Erie Together. The third pillar, if you will, this is the one I worked on earlier today, is civic-minded, which is respects others' perspectives and experiences, accepts responsibility for actions and contributions to society, engages in community and stays aware of current events, understands government functions and impacts, and stays informed and votes regularly. That's being a good citizen. And what I thought about as well is there's a lot of fear of the other, especially, you know, in current, you know, with the global migration, you know, new Americans and all this thing. And I thought, well, you know, why don't we celebrate some of our, we have the Italian and the Greek and the Polish in the German festivals, but what if we had a festival of some of the new nationalities that are coming, the Somalians and the Nepalese and so on, you know, celebrate so that we can have new layers of understanding, even for groups that are not necessarily that large or haven't been around here that long. I don't know. I mean, new understanding, you know.
I see no downside to that,
yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. Because I think with knowledge, there's power. And I think that, you know, understanding the differences in different communities and new Americans that are coming in here, I mean, just think of how rich that can make us,
sure,
in terms of the way we get along and the way we better understand each other. I think that would be great.
The I also, you know, talking about how government works and, excuse me, the it's interesting that there's national narratives about voting and mail-in ballots or whatever, but when we come to local, we have a lot of confidence, I mean, immense confidence in our systems here. Understanding that might go a long way, mm-hmm, to breaking down barriers and having more of a community aspect to all this, I think.
Right, I think so too. And, you know, one of the things that Erie Together has done for the last 8 years is a youth civic engagement symposium. Mm. And, you know, we invite all of the school districts from across Erie County to take part in that. And, you know, it sells out every year.
Yeah, it does.
Yep, quickly, within hours. But voting is something that we make sure we build into that so they understand how to register, how to vote. For many years, we brought in voting machines. This past year, we weren't able to do that because the day was just too packed.
Okay.
But we work really hard at that.
Yeah, getting people used to that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep moving. We got three more pillars here. Workplace ready, embraces diversity, possesses a strong work ethic, collaborates and communicates with others, shows initiatives, and is willing to learn new skills, solves problems and thinks critically, and demonstrates punctuality and good attendance. So a lot of these are soft skills, but a lot of these are just, you know what? I'm coming to work. I'm here to work.
Yep. Well, if you're academically ready, you have the written and verbal skills, you have the math skills, you have these soft skills in place that we're talking about with workplace ready, you can be trained on the job,
yeah,
right? So there, I mean, this all plays together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you're in a job, you can advance with the more skills that you acquire either on the job or with additional education. So yep, these soft skills or these employability skills, as we call them now, are very important.
It's going to be incumbent upon employers to understand that. Wow. Excuse me. They have to understand that, you know what, that person that's coming to you may not know the exact software that you're running on your machine, but they're teachable. So you have to put some skin in the game. They're not going to be this perfect, you know, person as far as all the things. They need to be trained. And if they're willing to be trained, if they're willing to solve problems and think critically, you're going to have an amazing employee on your hands.
Right. And I'll say that the employers that we work with, you know, over time through our Erie County Career Pathways Alliance or on this specific initiative related to the profile of a graduate, they recognize that and they're driving that conversation.
Yeah.
They say we can train them, but they need to have these basic skills in place so that we can train them and have them be a successful part of our team.
No doubt. Two more. Future focus means leveraging personal strengths into opportunities, explores career options through practical experiences, identifies career path based on strengths and interests, recognizes and utilizes transferable skills, and organizes time and prioritizes tasks to meet goals. You know what the theme I get from that is? Just maturity. Somebody who is on the road for maturity, you
mm-hmm.
know?
I would agree, but laying them out like this,
yes,
helps somebody, you know how you often say, I don't know what it is I don't know.
Right.
Well, this takes out the question, right? Mm. This is what we want you to know. And as you mature and as you focus on these specifically, these are the skills we want you to have.
Finally, we're talking about being financially savvy, understands financial concepts, debt, savings, and credit, differentiates between needs and wants, sets a budget with short and long-term financial goals, understands the value of investments for retirement, comprehends standard payroll deductions and taxes. I got to think that that one is a very recent thing that has bubbled up. I'm not sure people have been thinking about, hey, you know, we've got to teach kids how to manage their money, you know, because that was never a part of, you know, my coming up.
That's interesting, because I think about when I was a little kid, you know, we covered these kinds of things like in like a home ec course or something.
See,
like
I
that.
I wouldn't have taken a home ec.
Right. See, so right. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I think there was even a social studies class that actually taught us how to write a check and balance a checkbook.
Seriously, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's an important area of focus. I mean,
financial literacy is the key
right
now.
Right.
I mean.
And there
That's
were some
amazing.
Really good ideas that came out today,
yeah, what,
too.
Yeah, what did you see?
So, you know, they were talking about specific activities or games that are that kids like but adults like, too.
Right.
And, you know, there's financial literacy curriculum that I think comes out of the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, there are things out there that can be utilized. They talked about that Acorn application today,
right,
which I don't know about, but people in the audience were saying, yep, I use that. That's a great
wow.
tool. So, I mean, I think we're going to come out with something really solid here in terms of a strategy for the community to support the development of these attributes in kids. And I'm really excited about that. I think this is a game changer.
So what are next steps for this profile of a graduate?
So the schools are already integrating it into what they're doing. The districts are doing that. So now we started the conversation today with the community around, okay, what can people do within their own personal and professional circles to support the development of these attributes? And then I asked people to raise their hand. Are you interested in putting together a strategy around this? And
okay.
I got a nice group. I mean, there must be a dozen people that signed up for that. I like putting, you know, that out there right then and there, because
sure.
people, it's right in front of them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to convene them, and we're going to start looking at these things and the top ideas that came out today and figure out how to make that a comprehensive strategy.
Is this going to be available? Like, if people wanted to, you know, discuss this as part and parcel with filling out the FAFSA and doing all the things and doing your college visits and all the stress that happens when you're a junior and senior in high school. I feel like this would be like, hey, what's my report card? How am I doing as in a holistic manner?
Mm-hmm.
How's my child doing
mm-hmm.
holistically as they are about to launch,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I love that. So this is available to anyone in the community who wants it right now on Erie Together's website.
Okay.
So you just go to erietogether.org, click on projects, click on profile of a graduate, and there it is. So it is there. And we're going to put it out as far and as wide as we can, because to the extent we can get more and more people thinking about this on their own, that's that whole collective impact approach, right? That's how can we do things differently within our personal and professional circles to support things like this. So
yeah, and honestly, I don't care if your kids go to public school, private school, urban, suburban, rural, ninth grade, 12th grade. This is a tool. It really kind of, it's like, hey, this is the bullseye. This is where my fully orbed student should be striving for.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the hard work that you do every day.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love this. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And can I say one more thing?
Yes.
We are super grateful for the involvement of everybody who's engaged in Erie Together, because think about it, in our 15th year, right? Hundreds of people have done work on this movement, and we had a full room today.
Sure did.
So the fact that we can continue to convene people who are willing to prioritize the community and the things that we need here is really gratifying and really just special.
Beautiful.
So
Mary Beulah, Executive Director, Erie Together. The website?
www.erietogether.org.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from talkerie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.